You have too many of those things in that book here, so. Yeah, I don't want to repeat.
This is Betty Hyde, and I'm in North Powder talking with Louise Dodson on Wednesday, August 28th. Now, August 28th. Louise, can I get you to start by telling me your full name?
Yes, it's Violet Louise Parker Dodson.
And your date of birth?
January the 30th, 1904.
And where were you born?
On which is now the Elk Refuge, up by, on North Powder River. Anthony Creek, really, it is.
And were you the oldest or the youngest?
I was the oldest, yes. My father was the first forest ranger when this became Whitman National Forest, and that was his headquarters. And they built their own house and their own barns and everything, and he used to patrol this whole area just with the pack horse and saddle horse. And when I came along, I weighed 2 pounds, and they were very skeptical that I would ever make it, but I guess the Lord's been with me.
It looks like it. And you had younger brothers and sisters then?
I had one brother then that came along 6 years later. And then soon after he was born, we sold the ranch up there and moved to town because of getting us to school. Mm-hmm. And so the rest of my life is spent mostly here in North Powder and down on the ranch.
And was your husband a lifelong North Powder?
No, he came here when he was about 12 years old. It was one of those migration deals where the family came from back east and kind of hopped along, you know, staying a few years on the way, and finally they ended up in Washington, and then the father died, and they came to the mother came to North Powder because one of the boys was here. So he went to school in North Powder, so that's how I knew him.
And you said after you finished school in North Powder, then you went to college in La Grande?
I went to college at Oregon State, Oregon Agricultural College it was then. Mm-hmm. That's where I started, and I went there 2 years. And then I decided that I was going to run out of money. So to finish the course I was on, so I transferred over to normal school in Monmouth and took a year there. And then I taught school at Mont Carmel for a year. And I taught for $130 a month. And I did the janitor work. And I had students in my room that were 6 foot tall, 18 of them, and one of them was, I weighed less than 100 pounds. And one of them was my cousin. And I drove 4 miles to school, did the janitor work, carried in wood, made fires because we had to burn wood for heat. And that $130 a month, and then it was only for 8 months.
Oh. Yeah.
So that was quite a difference of what teachers make nowadays.
So you did that until you got married then?
No, I just taught there 1 year, then I went to, then I got married. And I didn't teach anymore, only just doing substitute work up here. until I went back then. And then when I went back to school, I went to LeGrand and took this. No, I went back first to Monmouth and graduated. And then I came to LeGrand.
Oh, okay.
And took in the refresher course so I could go back to teaching.
And then you went to
I have a lifetime teaching certificate I could teach here if they would hire me.
I think you still do a lot of that.
Yeah.
And then you were in Vail for 20 years.
Yeah. I went to Vail and I stayed there 20 years. And then because of my age, I was 65, and the ruling then was that you didn't hire teachers older than that. They tried to get me in, but they decided they couldn't. So then I was doing substitute work. We'd bought property up there, a home and everything, and we were going to stay there. And then Gentura. You know where Gentura is?
Oh, uh-huh.
Gentura is about 40 miles, I guess, from Vail, out toward Burns. And they lost their teacher at midterm, and so they called on me and asked if I'd come out and Phyllis finished the term for her. So that's what I did. Then I stayed another year and taught there another year, and then I thought, well, I better quit while quitting. So we sold our property in Vail and came back home in North Potter. I'm home again. Been here ever since.
Been here a long time. So your husband and family went with you to Vail?
Oh, no. He passed away in 75.
Oh.
When he was 75. We just had a couple of years to play around, and then he passed away. He had where the blood vessels dilate, you know.
Oh.
What do you call that?
Oh, gosh. But your family has stayed around.
Oh, they've all stayed here, yeah. Mm-hmm. And my daughter married while we were up there, and then they came down here, and they lived down here, too. This is my clan down here, all this
part. Oh, is that right?
Yes, yes. From North Potter to where you go up the hill, going to Union. That's all my son and my son-in-law's, and my daughter lives down here.
Well, they're glad to have you here then in this location.
Well, they spoil me to death.
Do they?
Yes. I got bee stung yesterday out here, and it wasn't a bad sting at first, but then it began to get some kind of bad towards the latter part of the day, and so I called up at the school, where to the first aid place, to see if they knew something for this bee sting. And my granddaughter, she got hold of it up there, but I told, here she comes. When she no more than got here, and here come my son. He found out. I don't know how they got word that I did a bee sting go up fast. I don't know. But I just had to laugh at them.
They watch over you pretty well.
They really do.
So you said your family moved into town from where you were born?
Yes, we moved into town. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Portland for a year, and my father went into business in Portland. But the business that he went into failed, and he lost quite a bit of money. And then he passed away soon after that. And that left mother with the two children, mm-hmm. my brother and I. So she went out here, her father, this Celtic, had given her, when she married, 40 acres out there. So she bought land adjoining and developed a ranch and raised two kids herself.
Yeah, women did those kinds of things, didn't they?
Yeah.
They took care of
them. She was very resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have any particular memories of going to school here in North Powder?
No.
Mm-hmm. When you were in school.
Well, my brother and I used to have to drive a horse and buggy, you know, from clear out there to school, or else ride a horseback, and it was a difficult job getting to school down here, but we attended school down here.
You came into town?
Mm-hmm, into town, finished school. Yeah.
Well, you've had a very eventful life. It's been here in North Powder, but it also took you some other places.
Yes, and now some of my family, my daughter's oldest son is, he just got his doctorate. And that's pretty good for a small town boy.
Oh, God.
But he works for Forest Service. He's at Wenatchee National Forest in Montana, or in Idaho. Oh, Washington. I get it pretty soon. He is the head of all the restitution for Wenatchee National Forest after the fires. But this year he's been spending all his time on the fires.
Oh, I bet.
Even back east. Helping. It's been terrible.
Well, he kind of goes back. You said your father was the ranger out here, so he
back
into
that's
the
right.
Now,
and then my daughter's other son is assistant manager of the fish hatchery at Escada.
Oh, my.
So that's another branch of forestry, really.
Mm-hmm. That is your son that lived here in North Powder. Is he farm?
Yeah. He's the rancher, and then Dale was the merchant up there. Mm-hmm. He's retired now.
Is he?
But, he's there most of the time, helping his son took over, you know. And,
Well, you pulled out so many things here to show me. I see you have one there.
This is sort of the preface that I wrote that's in that book. So, I especially like this poem that I wrote because it seems to fit my mood. It's called Dreaming. It was written in February of 1992. I wander down the country lane. The air is cool and sweet. The wild roses grow by the fences and the dust clouds are at my feet. I dream of times of yesteryear, when wandering I would seek the busy anthill's teeming midst and the bird's nest by the creek. Each tree was there for me to climb, its coolness I embraced. The garter snake that slithered by would hardly leave a trace. The winding old rail fences seemed to lead me on my way. The pioneers surely put them there for me to walk and play. The strangely, strongly stunted chokecherry blooms, the swaying goldenrod, the pink wild roses and the columbines brightened the path I trod. The gray squirrels sat upon their mounds and chittered as I passed. The frogs would croak a merry chorus saying, "Summer will not last." Those wonder dreams of a country girl riding her horse to school, mulling the secrets of the birds in the trees and the teeming life in the pool. Thus passed those golden years, leaving so little trace, while exploring the beauty and grandeur of every lovely place. I still do seek, whene'er I can, a dusty lane to roam, for in the quiet countryside my heart comes truly home.
Oh, that's very nice. Is that in your book here?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe it might be. Very nice. And I read your preface there. Could you tell me anything about the town of North Powder in your memory? I know there used to be quite a bit more business in town here than there is now.
Yes. North Powder started out to make major growth to begin with, but I think after the railroad came through and Baker and LeGrand began to develop, it sort of capped the migration to North Powder. But I think at one time North Powder probably had 600 people living here, but it hasn't been that many for quite a while. But there was lots of business here, and
the picture you showed me of the hotel was pretty sizable.
Yeah, it was a nice hotel. Yeah. But as I explained in that book, the water system here, you know, for so long was Neal. People got their water from wells some had artesian wells and some had pump wells. It wasn't a water system as such. And when they had a fire, there was little means to combat it. And at times there were whole blocks of the town that burned, you know. And I don't think there's a block in town that hasn't had, you know, a house or two burned down.
Is that right?
Some of it built back up and some didn't. So, it used to, they had a nice flour mill here, and that was a booster. And then they had the ice plant that gave people employment. So things were pretty busy for a while here. Mm-hmm. But now it's mostly just an agricultural community that buys just emergency things here, you know, rather than depending on the stores here.
Well, you used to be able to do your shopping and the groceries and that kind of thing.
We still have a grocery store here, and sometimes we've had two. We had the post office, of course.
Not a lot of reasons for the young people to stay here for employment.
No, not really. Not unless they're engaged in agriculture, some branch of agriculture. It seems to me that now the town is kind of becoming more of a retirement center.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most of the houses that are being sold here or that are rented or being rented to people that are retiring, and they want to come to a place like this where kind of a country. They want to get away from these cities where the traffic is so condensed and where they're getting so that one house is right bumped up against another, you know. And they like to get out here where it's kind of a rural community, and you'd be surprised how many houses in this town are being filled with retirees.
Is that right?
This man right over here, the one right next to him are retirees, and the one right up here next to me, I guess everyone almost on this block are retirees.
How does that affect your schools, is the population?
Well, it makes a fluctuation, but we have pretty good school turnout. Yeah. Now, my granddaughter's room, she's just telling me that she had 26 pupils in her 7th grade room, so that's about many as they can handle in each room. And in fact, we draw a lot of students from Haines area because Haines doesn't have a high school, see, and we do.
Oh, that's right.
So we draw a lot of high school people because we have a good athletic program and they want to get into athletics. And we even draw some students from Baker.
Is that right?
But just because they think they get a better chance to shine, you know, if they come to a smaller school. And we've had real good luck with having good coaches. And my granddaughter that teaches up there, her husband and her oldest son, they both help with the football.
Do they? Well, so many times, as the population gets to be older, you don't have the children.
Well, it seems like it holds up pretty good, and I think probably that's the reason, is the many are coming in from other outlying districts.
And there's still probably families out in the farming area.
Oh, yes. And then there aren't any country schools anymore, you know. Like where I went out to Mont Carmel out there, it's been gone now for quite a while.
There used to be quite a lot of country schools. So you had quite an experience teaching in the country school then, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. That first year was a real experience.
Well, especially if you had those great big boys.
I bet
you handled them.
Well, I got by with it all right. Sometimes I wondered. Sometimes I hated to think about going back. But I got through it all right.
Yeah. So now, how long have you been back here in North Powder once you finished teaching in Vail?
Since I've been back home. I came back in 70.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm.
We never sold our place here. We've had this since 36. We bought this place in 36. That was right after the Depression. Mm-hmm. You know, that terrible Depression that we had around from 28 to 40s. You know. Mm-hmm. And we were ranching, but that put us out of ranching. We never did get back into ranching. My husband worked for the railroad. And then he worked at the ice plant, various places. But then after my son took over my mother's property that was down here on Sunny Slope, and then he began to buy a lot more, too. we've been deep in the ranching business, all the rest of the family.
So did you go out and ride?
I used to ride. I haven't been on a horse now for some time. I wouldn't dare. Probably fall off on my head like I did once coming from school. I told him that. But
did you?
I was coming to school a horseback, and I was loping along up there, and my horse decided to go one way when I wanted to go the other way. All at once, she just was right up against the big electric light pole, and she just jumped at the side real quick to miss the light pole, and it unseated me kind of, and I hung on for a ways, and I fell off right in the middle of the road, right on my head.
Oh no!
The rest of the day I sat to school, and I'd do like this, and the sand would just fall out of my hair. Yeah.
So did you, you came into town to school, so you weren't in a one-room school?
Yeah, we come into town after my father passed away, and my mother and I went out, and it was only 4 miles out here, but that was a long 4 miles in those days, especially in the winter. And many's the time we'd, for a horse that we drove, old Mabel, she'd have an icicle hanging on her eyelashes and on her nose when she got to town. They'd be so hot, cold, our hands would be so cold we couldn't even unhook the harness, you know. Kids didn't have it so easy then.
That's right.
You took a cold lunch and it was a far cry from the warm buses that come and pick them up now. but we made it.
I don't know if you have other things there you wanted to share, or...
Since you have so much in that book that I had down here. About everything that I have is in that book.
Okay.
It was in 62.
Oh, was it really?
And They came from Canada, Woodstock, Canada, which is over by the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they got their way out here, they all they had was their saddle horses. So they hooked up with a wagon train that was coming west over the Oregon Trail, and they herded the cattle and took care of the stock, you know, to pay for their way. And then I suppose some of the people in the wagon train fed them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had lots of adventures. And they got here to this valley in 62. And he said there wasn't a house in sight around here. No one had stopped in this valley because of the Indian, these crazy Indians using any fort close.
Mm-hmm.
And it was most interesting because the valley must have looked like paradise to those early settlers that come over that barren country of Idaho, you know, and out on that brink. Have you been to the interpretive center?
Yeah.
Well, you know how it is. I never go up there, and I don't think how that valley must have looked to those immigrants, you know. Those beautiful mountains with timber on them, and they'd been seeing nothing but sagebrush and dirt and
sand.
And to look over that valley where I know he said that when they struck that valley up there that you could ride a horse through there, and just the native grasses and things was clear up to your stirrups, you know. And the water running in those streams in all directions, you know, it must look like paradise too. But they couldn't stay here because they were afraid of the Indians. And then Doc Anthony and Riggs's, some people named Riggs's, I guess they probably wore out their teams, or some of them even were driving oxen, you know. And they just worn out, and they just had to stop. So they went way up there to the foothills where they camped and took up property. And they made friends with the Indians. And it was a pretty lonely life, I guess, for him for a while. But I can remember when he was our, then my folks took up the homestead right next to his, just above his, where they are for a few years. And when I'd come by, why, old Doc used to come out, and he'd want to know if I had some candy left in my lunch pail, And I can remember him real well.
Mm.
He claimed to be a doctor, but everybody thought he was kind of a fudge, but I don't know. No one ever proved it. They played a lot of tricks on him and everything.
So then they stayed.
They stayed here, and then they begin to, other people begin to taking up. And when my other grandfather came quite a bit later from Utah, they came over the Oregon Trail from Utah, and they bought land here for $1.25 an acre.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the Wilson family up there, they came in that same wagon train. And later, see, when my grandmother died, my grandfather married Wilson. He married these boys' aunt.
Oh, is that right?
She was a Wilson. My stepmother. My mother was only 2 years old then. You know, it used to be that the women died young. Those frontier women, they just couldn't hack it. And it's no wonder they didn't have anything to go by, you know.
No
water in the house and no refrigeration.
And they worked so hard.
No, none of the shortcuts we have today.
No, absolutely.
they had to do all their laundry, you know, in an old wash tub and washboard.
I was never very familiar with the ice house that was out here.
Yeah, that my husband used to work there when he was still in school. And then after we were married, he took his team and worked on the pond.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good paying job, about the only good paying jobs there were around here, because working on a ranch, in those early days, you were lucky if you got your board and room sometimes, mm-hmm. without any extra pay. Mm-hmm. And it tells in that book how they used to pay.
So did they shift the ice?
Yes.
On the railroad?
That was in my memory. It belonged to the railroad company. The cars, they didn't have refrigeration like they have now, so the refrigerator cars were made just for special to put blocks of ice in, and they would go on switch over on the siding there, and then they'd run those.
So do you remember when the ice house was no longer operating?
Oh, yeah, I can remember when it was struck by lightning. That's what destroyed it. But you know, before that, the man that had run it for years just disappeared. And no one ever knew what became of him.
And then it got struck by lightning.
No, he never had found any traces of what became of him. Herman White, his name was.
For goodness sake.
And he left his wife, and I don't know if she knew. She never let on. She knew what became of him.
Just disappeared.
Just disappeared.
Well, and then the flouring mill still operated for a long time.
Yes, it operated until not too many years ago. The Johnsons left, and that kind of...
That's right. Mm-hmm. Kind of put an end to it.
Well, I think probably I've